Welcome back to the Compound Podcast. This is episode 206, presented by Connect Roasters, connectroasters.com, for the best coffee in the world. We have two codes, don't forget them. Code Compound Club for 25% off your first Home Run Club order. A lot of people sign up for the Home Run Club. It is a direct shipment of coffee to your door every month. A lot of options to pick from, whatever you like, light roast, medium roast. We even have a dark roast, whatever you like. And we have code COMPOUND15 for 15% off site-wide. If you want to just try something, if you want to get a little merch, connectroasters.com. We have some topics today. We got things going on. I want to lead it off.
With how your mic is not there and you sound horrible.
It's my fault. I packed for the road trip and I forgot my mic. I hate myself. I'm a bad person, so I sound bad.
We had to yell at you because you know we'd yell at Zach if we forgot.
Yep. That's on me. I blame myself. I have a really nice mic and I forgot it. But I want to give a shout out to friend of the pod, Anthony Rizzo, 300 career homers. It's really, really cool. I saw that he hit that in, actually, bad friend, didn't know he was at 299. But I saw that he had 300, really awesome moment. Do you know how many players in the history of the game have 300 homers? How many are in the 300 home run club? Anybody?
I do not.
Say a number.
12 active.
Okay. Yeah. How many all-time 300 home run hitters?
108.
That's funny. I was going to say just under 100.
I was going to say like 200 to 300, but I have no idea.
Yeah. 25,000 players all time. How many of them have 300 home runs?
I just told you 108.
I'll say 200.
200, 108, Tom?
Actually, I should say 109.
212.
161 players in the history of Major League Baseball have 300 career home runs. That is a unbelievable accomplishment. The consistency that it takes to do that is amazing. And I think because we've seen some big numbers recently, 300 isn't as appreciated as it should be. And that is a massive, massive milestone and really exceptional. Shout out to Tony.
It is sick because you've always said it too. Like every single year he ends up with, you know, 280 or 260, 280, like whatever it is, with 20 to 30 homers and close to 100 RBIs. And like, it's just every year in and year out. And then you look up and it's like, holy shit, he has 300 homers.
Yep. I mean, it's just a testament of consistency. He had a stretch in Chicago that I got to witness some of it, which was 4 straight years with 30 and 100 or 25 and 100. It was 4 straight years with 30. And then he went 31, 32, 32, 25, 101, 100, 900, 901. Just super, super impressive. I mean, almost 1,000. He'll get to 1,000 RBIs this year, 300 homers, 1,000 RBIs by the end of the year. I mean, just incredible. So shouts to friend of the pod, Rizzo.
I don't know, though. He hasn't came back on the pod in a while, so I don't know.
That's a good point.
Kind of out. Maybe on
we're
him
down right on
him. I'm kind of out on him.
He had a tough one tonight where he got punched out on a ball below the knees, and he was halfway down to first. And he was about as fired up as I've seen him in a while. He was real heated on the 3-2 pitch right below the knees.
They kept showing him in the dugout, and he kept saying like little things like every other pitch.
Love
that. When it's 3-2 and you get punched out, there's nothing worse.
He's good for, I feel like, an ejection a year, right? Like right around there, maybe?
Yeah, about 1 year.
He'll get his money's worth.
Yeah.
I like you getting one soon.
Especially getting punched out on the 3-2 when you're halfway down the first baseline. The tough one. It was a delayed strike call. So I felt his pain.
To walk and they took it away from you. Do you guys want to talk about the Mexico series?
Yeah. Did you see the first thing that came to my mind was I think it was their second game there. The Astros team run total was set at like 8.5 or 9.5. And that was a higher total than any other game in the MLB. So just the Astros run total was set at a higher line than any other game in the MLB. If that tells you anything about a little elevation.
I saw the Kyle Tucker to homer that was 97 off the bat at 43, and it went 400 feet to the opposite field. Just for reference, 97 and 43 is an out everywhere.
Speaking so of that, can I say that tweet? Sorry, Dakota, go ahead.
No.
The tweet that I saw last night, Matt Olson's fourth inning flyout was hit 106.6 miles per hour, 32-degree launch angle, but it traveled just 373 feet. Entering today, there had been 576 batted balls since 2015 with an exit velocity between 106 and 107 and a launch angle between 31 and 33 degrees. Olson flyout fell shorter than all but four others. The median distance on these 576 batted balls was 415 feet, and 518 of these were home runs.
Yeah, the other four might have been at Wrigley with wind blowing straight in. I mean, it's wild. I went into that thread to look at it, and there was definitely some crosswind. I don't know where he hit it, if he hit the center or where.
Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, again.
But
Just stirring the pot a little bit. That's all.
Yeah, stir the pot. Yeah, I don't know. I think we're going to get, as we get into the summer, we're going to get some real data on, because the league OPS is pretty low. Lowest it's been in about 30 years, maybe more. So I don't know if it's with a lot of good pitchers. I don't know if it's a combination of what guys are throwing, cold weather, wind, balls, but it's low. Really low.
If there's a team in Mexico City, how fast are you asking for a trade there?
Let me pop them right out of the park. I gotta get the ball in the air first, but let me get over there. Yep, we'll be all right.
We're not worried.
I'm not close to snapping. Fine.
Your mom's in town. She'll bring hits.
Everything's fine. Didn't tonight.
We've talked about this before, but are you usually don't you usually get hits when your mom comes to town, or do you play worse? Or is it kind of
whatever? No, she's usually good luck.
Remember Trace Thompson? Well, you know Trace Thompson, but like in AAA, Zach, you didn't play with Trace Thompson, Ian, but you remember that, Zach? Trace would literally fly his mom out when he was in a cold streak because he's like, she gets me. Like, I never don't get hits when she's in town. He's like, I literally fly her out if I'm cold.
Yeah, I love that. That's like, fantastic.
That's incredible.
Not my parents.
Ian, when you came up tonight and got the walk in the fourth, did you know Severino had a perfect game going at the time? Like, are you aware of that in the game moment that he set down the first 11?
Yeah, I was aware that we had no one that had gotten on base, which is grinding for us.
You said my bad. I got you guys. Hop my back.
Yeah, I felt good. Honestly, he was really good tonight. He took a no-hitter into the eighth. Pretty impressive stuff. And he was throwing harder in the eighth. Like, he was juiced up, like 97. He's got good stuff, man. He's got a four. He's got a two-seam sinker thing. He's got a changeup. He's got a cutter. Threw me some sweepers I didn't like very much. Punched me on one that was pretty good. He was nasty all night. We found a way to get one run off him and tie the game. And then Morel came up huge in the ninth. That was a crazy ball game. And overlooked in that game was the fact that Jameson Taillon also went into the eighth inning, 7 1/3, I think.
With pitches.
It was like 81 pitches or something, and kept us in that game, which is not easy to do. So really great game for the Cubbies. We had had a couple tough ones at Boston, got blown out, which is a great way to lose, by the way. If you're going to lose 17-0. Really resets all the metrics for you. But also, then we lost, got walked off at the last game in Boston, which was tough.
But that place was packed on Sunday night.
Yeah, Sunday night baseball. It was a good atmosphere there. It was just packed all weekend. There were some Cubbies fans too, which is cool. But we played a really good game the first game of the series, and then last two were toughies. So for us to come out after getting no hit for 7+ and win that game was huge. Cubbies are resilient.
Two things. Was that your first time playing at Fenway?
Yes.
Pretty cool, huh?
Pretty cool, yeah. As a left fielder, that wall's pretty close. I wouldn't know. It's different because, like, balls that you would normally catch or go for, like, I didn't get any action the first game, and then the second game, Duran, first hitter of the game, hit one off the monster, but it was, like, catchable ball, and it hit, like, I don't know. Like, I jumped, and it was just over my glove, and I ran into the wall. Not soft, Not no, so much. No. Messed me up pretty good. Didn't love it. And then the rest of the game, I was just playing balls off the wall and like kept the guys at first. But it's interesting because like when the balls hit, you feel like you can catch it. But then you realize there's a massive wall right behind you and it's very, very close. And so like positioning and like understanding how close or how far to play from it was a challenge.
I'm assuming you guys had like a pregame meeting about it, right? As outfielders or just in general, like, yeah. I don't know if you want to go into that a little bit of like, as infielders, you know, like Texas is one that sticks out right away. Our bench coach in Detroit was like so adamant about like, hey, if you're playing short or second and there's a ball down the right field line or left field line, like as on the ground or even a line drive, the stands kind of butt out a little bit. And there's like every probably 5-6 feet, there's like a pole that is padded. And if it hits that, it'll either come back towards you or just sit, which is like a ridiculously long run for the left fielder or right fielder. And we spend, you know, like we go out there together. We'll spend, you know, a few minutes talking about it in our pregame meeting. I don't know if you want to go into how you guys kind of went over playing with the monster, where it's like, you know, I remember, you know, especially as a base runner, like, hey, if you get one, you might still be only on first base. Like, you got to be smart.
Yeah, Fenway's different. So there's the left field line of Fenway butts out too, so that ball can kick back. So the shortstop has to run out if there's a ball down the third base line, like a double down line. We didn't have any of those actually happen. But then in the outfield, you're talking about like, all right, the corner guys have to back up the center fielder because the ball can come off the center field wall above the padding, and then it can also come off the monster kind of angles. Like if the guy tries to go for one, then it's going to kick off. So there's a lot of backing up, and the center fielder is coming behind me to back up anything off the wall left. But we had a lot of discussions about just like playing and what depths, because for righties, there's just no room down in the corner. So it's like, do you go more towards the gap and try to take away more of the gap because there's no balls to catch on the line? And so we were kind of messing with that and trying to figure out what to do. But yeah, I think you need a lot of time out there at that ballpark to kind of figure that thing out. And, you know, I think more often than not, you just have to play it off the wall and try to hold as many singles as you can. It's interesting. It's an interesting place.
I've heard.
And the right field is huge.
It's like you take BP or even you get in the box, you're just like, I mean, that is so far out there.
Dansby hit a ball that was a homer in 28 out of 30, but the other one was course, which is a joke because he hit a ball to right field like 104 at 28 or I don't know, and it went literally into that 380 corner and the right fielder caught it, and it's a homer everywhere if you hit that same. Yeah. That thing of like homer in every ballpark except Coors. Like, yeah, if you hit those numbers, of course, the ball goes 450 feet. So a little different. But yeah, we had some bad luck.
How, one more thing about Fenway. I don't know if you're into like the baseball nostalgia, but like Sweet Caroline, we played there on Friday night and it was packed, same thing. And it was just like, you kind of, you know, take a step back and you're like, it's pretty cool. No matter what the score is, they'll do it. Like, it's just a little different.
And the ninth inning, we were tied going
into
the
eighth inning. I don't know if I said seventh inning. I'm sorry. Eighth inning.
Yeah, it's the eighth. And in the ninth inning, we were tied Sunday Night Baseball. And then they're playing, shipping up to Boston, like before the ninth. And people are fired up. That was, that's a pretty cool scene. I mean, it's just an awesome ballpark. Like everything that's going on. It's when you walk in, I think as a visitor kind of too, like walking in and you're walking on the concourse and like everything's small and tight and all over the place. It reminds me a lot of old Wrigley. And like a lot of those things that are cool about the old ballparks that have been around for 100 years. Like there's just a lot of cool baseball history, the tunnel. So like at Fenway from the visiting locker room, the visiting locker room is really small and there's a door that takes you to the dugout, but it goes under the stand. So it's like this really tight, damp, old hallway that you walk to get to the dugout. And it's super cool. Like you think about everybody that walked through that dugout, like it's really, really cool.
That's what they always tell you. Like, think about how many people walked in this dugout, how many people pissed in this bathroom right here.
Yeah. There's a little urinal in the corner of the dugout. And you'd have to think how many guys peed in that urinal. There's also like where the Ted Williams seat is. It's like, do they play them with juice balls? Tell me Teddy Ballgame sitting at 800 feet to right field? What are you talking about? What are they playing with? Racquetballs?
Don't people like sign the thing like inside the Green Monster?
Yeah, sign the wall.
Ian's not about that. Ian definitely didn't do it.
I went in there. Went in there and saw it. I couldn't remember if I signed it. I don't think they would let us sign it way back in the Cape Cod days. Did you work out there?
Did you sign it then? That was like, if I remember, I'm pretty sure it was just like, hey, walk this way, walk that way. Hey, take BP, take ground balls.
Stay off the field.
Yeah.
It was the fast. That was the fastest. Just a side note, but like when you're on Cape Cod, or they used to do this, you'd work out one day at Fenway and it would be like a scout workout. So it'd be a bunch of scouts. You'd take BP, you'd run the 60. That was the warning track. You would run from center to right on the warning track. And I think it was sloped down because those were the fastest times ever. I was flying.
Yes.
That's what you want, like, though. Juice the numbers a little bit.
I ran the 60, and I ran like a 6.4 or 6.5, and I was like, I am not that fast.
You're
that
a burner.
That got you in the first round right there.
Yeah.
Got you a few milli.
We'll get you right back into this week's compound, but first, baseball season is heating up. Maybe you've heard of it. And DraftKings Sportsbook, maybe you've heard of them. One of America's top-rated sportsbook apps is giving new customers a swing at turning $5 into $200 instantly in bonus bets with any baseball bet. DraftKings also has you covered for same-game parlays, live betting, odd boosts, and so much more. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code COMPOUND. New customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code COMPOUND, only on the DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/baseball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Zach, do you want to talk about what's going on in your life?
Yeah, I got fired.
I'm sorry, but that is just like a funny way to say it.
No, it's fine. But it's just something where, you know, I've been sent up and down 100 times. You know, I've been DFA'd in the offseason where it's, you kind of do your best to not play GM, especially during the season. But I mean, you can kind of see the writing on the wall pretty early. You know, I didn't have an at bat for 15 days. You know, I only have 11 bats as I think 11 plate appearances as it is. Like one was, you know, a ninth inning down by a bunch in Los Angeles. And again, like I understand it. Obviously you want an opportunity to play. It was a cool story, you know, the day I made the team, to play for, you know, my childhood favorite team. But at the end of the day, it's a business and it is what it is. You know, if I clear waivers and I'm back there, like do my best to, you know, either play, you know, play as best as I can in AAA or to get back up there or somewhere else. But, you know, it is what it is.
And the situation was for JD, right?
Yeah. I mean, he needed his time to kind of ramp back up. And he got there the other day, you know, and obviously I haven't really participated all that much. And it was different. It was a different environment than in Detroit where, you know, there is a lot of money on that team where, you know, you're not going to pinch hit for Lindor. You're not going to pinch it for half of the guys on that team. So it's like, okay. And, you know, and Lindor, I'm pretty sure has a streak top five in baseball. I could be wrong of like most active games played.
He plays every day.
So it's like, and it's something you respect so much. And it's like, he's not coming out of a game. Like, why would you, you know? And again, there's a lot of money on that team. You're not going to pinch hit. You're not going to sit guys. So as
to cool more veteran group.
Yeah. Like I get it, man. Like if you're on the Braves, it's the same thing. Like those guys play 150 to 160 games a year, if not more. Like just is what it is. And again, I kind of, you know, I'm actually, I don't want to say proud of myself, but, you know, to show up every day, you know, where it was like, you know, you're really not going to get in this game, but I prepared every day as if I was, you know, it wouldn't be fair to either me or my teammates if I wasn't preparing, if I wasn't looking at the pen the night before, if I wasn't, you know, because I figured like, hey, if I'm going to get in this game, it's going to be a pretty shitty situation. So, you know, you better be prepared and you better be ready to go. And that's kind of how I went about it every day. And I, you know, I really wouldn't change anything if I wasn't going to play. I'm proud of myself of how I went about it every day.
Can you explain to the people what the process is like now? So you get DFA'd. And then just talk people through like what the process is.
Yeah. And to be honest, I still don't really know. I could be butchering this. So from what I was told, they have a few days to trade you. So it's like, it's a 7-day process all in all, if you use, you know, hour to hour to, and they have 5 days if they want to trade you at max. And then you have to be on waivers for 48 hours, which means every team has a chance to put a claim in for you going Tom, right? Worst to best. Record wise at that time.
Correct.
So, you know, if the trade, if team, you know, in the middle or later end of the waiver claim, you know, likes me for whatever reason. And they're like, you know, we don't think this guy's going to get to us. If we don't try to trade for him, if he goes on waivers, they think somebody will pick me up or whoever up. So they'll try to trade for me. And I think that's kind of what's going on now, because I'm pretty sure I'm not on waivers at this moment. I think I'm in that trade process. I don't know. I don't know if I'm on waivers or not, but I'm assuming that from what I've gathered that it's going to take a little bit, which is the shitty part as well, where it's like, you know, you kind of wake up every day. It's like, again, I haven't been to the field since Friday, which is a little different, especially, you know, you go every day. But yeah, I mean, it's kind of just a sit and wait thing. You know, I've been working out kind of like it's the off season where I hit every day. I've taken ground balls every day and spending time at home, which is nice. You know, I got DFA'd 45 minutes from my home. So it was kind of the best of a shitty situation, I guess you could say.
Ian, don't you think, I feel like it's weird. Like you'll hear of guys that like, oh yeah, just so you know, we DFA'd you, you got claimed by this team. So good luck. Like, I feel like, as the PA guy, shouldn't it be a little more transparent? Like, I feel like that's just kind of like, I mean, it doesn't really matter, but I feel like you should know more about what's going on with your career versus like, oh yeah, we put you on waivers like 3 days ago and this team claimed you.
Yeah. I think it's hard because there's, you know, you have to be on waivers for 2 days and then the team basically has like 3 days after that to trade you.
I think it's flipped. I think that
they have this many days to trade you and then you go on the waiver wire. Yeah. Okay. So they have whatever it is, 3 to 5 days to trade you and then you go on the waiver wire for 2 days. So
and that's, sorry, Ian, that's if they don't even want to try, they could just put you on waivers right away. Like there's an art to it too, where it's like, we're going to try to do it at a time where we can sneak them through.
They try to sneak like a Sunday night or something, right?
Yeah. Like if you sneak them through, like, they're with you and it's like, oh, sorry, you know, like you missed your chance. Or they can just hold on to you and then put you on waivers the last possible second where it's like, oh, sorry, you know, sorry, Ian, to cut you off, but there's an art to it. And it's the same thing. It's like, it's such a business where I don't want to say you can manipulate it, but you can do your best to manipulate it.
And that's why I think, like, I feel like there should be a way, like the player should know, like when it happens, like, hey, like what the hell? I just got put on waivers. Like you get a notification on your phone. You should have an app notification.
It is frustrating. There isn't a lot of transparency. And part of that is on your agent to like be out there, like talking to teams and like making sure that like, hey, like just like, I know you had interest in the off season or this, like, and try to find you the best landing spot. And they can't control it like perfectly, but at least like that's hopefully how you get your information or get yourself into a better setup. And I think we're all hoping on this pod that Zach, you end up in a place where you can play a bunch of baseball and get a chance. And that's the bright side of this.
Last
day by day.
Last question, Ian, how many years of service do you need to elect free agency? Isn't it a lot? Isn't it like 5? Yeah. 5 years. Ah.
Yeah. Not there.
Which I also think is kind of crazy that like, I mean, I get it, but I feel like you should have that choice. I feel like you should just be like, you know what? I don't want to go back here. I want to go somewhere else. And just, you should be able to do that.
That's the, it's the name of negotiating.
You put me on this PA. I should be on the PA. I'll fight for some shit.
Yeah, you will.
I'll get you guys everything, man. We're not, tell you what, if there's new CBA negotiations, we ain't playing. Because I'm fighting for everything.
Fighting for it all.
I don't even know what we fight for, but we're going to win.
We're going to fight.
We're going to fight.
We're going to try out a new segment. Okay? We've been trying out a couple of segments. We're trying a new segment. Tom is going to fire up a voicemail for us. Okay? We have these voicemails. We're going to fire it up. It's brought to you by Bruce Ball. BruceBall.us. If you want game hats for your team, if you want flexible, moisture-wicking, flexible bill game hats that you can customize for your team, BruceBolt.us. You can also get my batting gloves, Baby Blues, the Hap series. You can also get batting gloves, Zach Shortwears. BruceBolt.us. Let's hear the voicemail, Tom.
Hey, Ian, Dakota, Zach, and Tom. This is Tom from Iowa, and congrats on 200 episodes. My question has to do with one of your favorite things to do, and that's chopping it up with the boys. And living here in Iowa, I've spent a fair share of time down at Principal Park, especially when my sons were younger in the late 2000s. And we would only sit in one section, and that was right along the wall with the iCubs bullpen. And I'd take my two sons to the game, and we'd sit there, and we'd love chopping it up with the likes of Randy Wells, shout out Randy Wells, to the point that the game sometimes just became secondary. So Dakota, my question's for you. How was the chop in the iCubs bullpen for you, and how easy is it as a pro in a bullpen to become completely disconnected from the game itself? Anyway, congrats again, guys, and go Cubs.
That's Tom from Iowa. Thank you for the question, Tom from Iowa. He loves the chop.
That's such a good question, because it's happened so many times where not so much on the days you think you would pitch, because the days you think you would pitch, like you try to focus a little more, but if there's a day I know I'm down, like I threw like two innings the night before, the innings could go by and I'll look up. I'm like, oh, seventh inning. If we scored, what's the score looking like? How's the starter doing? Is he doing pretty good? I mean, there's days where like 2 hours go by and I don't know if I could recollect a single pitch. So yeah, it's very easy, especially on days where you know you're not going in the game. The games you could pitch, obviously you try to focus a little more, but maybe that wasn't always a good thing, but there was definitely times where I would just look up and be like, oh wow, sixth inning, we're up 2-1, that's pretty good.
Yeah, if there's nothing crazy happening in the game,
yeah,
like if it's a 2-1 ball game and like starters not getting shelled, guys throwing okay, like till it's your time to kind of get the body moving.
And even
go ahead.
Sorry, I was just going to say, even really like days I would pitch, even the first like three innings are kind of just like, well, starters got it. Like, I mean, unless things are just going crazy, like you said, like if it's, oh, they've given up one run, they're at 40 pitches through three innings. Like, I'm not really, I'll check the pitch count every now and then, see where they're at. Like, oh, maybe I'll be moving around soon. But other than that, you're just kind of hanging out with the boys, just chatting it up.
You as a bench guy in the NL coming up in like AA, AAA, and then in the big leagues, it's very, very similar conversation where it's like, all right, you know, say Dakota, you're starting, right? And you're starting pitcher. It's like, all right, Dakota's got, you know, 45 pitches through three innings. Like, he's in a good spot. If you have like one long inning, you just go. Like,
oh yeah,
it is on site. You're just like, oh my God, I got to get going. I'm going to get double switched in. Like, okay. Like you are, there is no like enjoying the game to like, as you know, like in the pen, it's like, okay, Dakota, you know that you're going to throw the seventh, eighth or ninth inning. There's none of that as a extra guy on the bench in back in the day in a National League game. It was just like, if this guy throws 20 pitches this inning and like doesn't look great, you better get your ass hot because you're going in next inning, bro.
I will say too, the Cubs had a rule in the minors where like you couldn't throw more than 35 pitches in an inning or you'd have to come out. So like there would be times where like a guy's at 40 pitches through three innings, he goes out in the fourth. Next thing you look up, he's at like 65. You're like, uh-oh, this has been a really long inning. I better start moving. Like it kind of turns into a panic at that point.
As a bench guy, there was a number of times in my career where you're like, all right, you know, like know where the matchup's going to be later in the game. Like everything's fine. Guys at 60 pitches through five. It's great. Two outs. And then, like guy gets on, you're like, yeah, another guy gets on, like, yeah, double. Oh, my God. Oh my God. You're like running down, like putting your tape on. You're like, something's going to happen. The worst.
It happens fast, but it's such a long season that it's hard to stay like locked in on every pitch of every game all the time.
I think certain bullpens are different. I do have one bullpen story. We were in, I don't know if you guys remember this, a couple years ago, we were in LA in 21, and the old Cubbies threw a no-hitter, combined no-hitter. The guys that came out of the bullpen for that combined no-hitter did not know that it was a no-hitter.
I remember
not
that.
Not one of them knew when they came in the game that we had not allowed a hit.
I think if you –
That's better.
Because of where that bullpen is, it's like kind of tucked into the stands. You can't like see the scoreboards kind of behind you. Like you can't really, and like the boys are just like chopping it up, but like they know it's a close game, but they're kind of just ready for when they're going to go in. They had no clue that it was a no hitter.
If you watch that clip, Kimbrel closes it out and he's like looking around when everyone's like running to him. He's like, fuck is going on?
Yeah, exactly. He had no idea.
That's way better because there's nothing. This is going to sound bad, but there was no point that I wanted to go into a game in relief and the starter went like six innings, no hit. And I'm like, no, thanks. No,
not for me.
I don't want to be the guy.
Dakota, I was going to ask you during, you know, like it, when you were playing in your prime condition, how long would it take you if you were completely cold sitting down, you know, not like starters rolling? How long would it take you if they all of a sudden they were like, we need you ready? How long do you need? Like, what's the fastest you could do it to get ready to get into the game?
I will be honest. This is not really a brag, but I was very good at getting very hot, very fast. Like, I was super quick. Like, if you told me, if 2 outs are in the top of the eighth and I got the bottom of the eighth and I just stand up and like hit like 5 shuffle throws, I'm like, all right, we can make it work. Like I could make it work. Like really. And except obviously when it's early in the season in Iowa and it's 40 degrees, 30 degrees, that's a little different. But like when it's nice out, especially like you tell me it's time and I'm like, sure. Like I could make it work out there. Cause
you're pretty flexible too, right?
Yeah, I am. Surprisingly flexible. Because I've always thought like you get 8 when you go out to the mound. And I'm like, realistically, if I get like 5 to 10 throws in the bullpen and then 8 out there, like if I can't get ready that fast, how am I relief pitching?
Between that and adrenaline too, like.
Yeah. Like I came in like only probably like 2 or 3 times, maybe twice in my career for someone like that got hurt and you warm up on the game mound. That's a horrible feeling because everyone's just watching you warm up.
Come on, Dakota, let's go.
And they're always, the manager's always like, take your time. Like, you got all the time in the world. I'm like, yeah, but I look like an idiot out here. Like, let's just do it. Yeah. Let's just go. We're fine.
I'm ready.
We can make it work.
I do want to move on to Dan's hot take, okay? Dan Mueller, clubhouse aficionado with the Chicago Cubs, has another hot take for us, okay? I want to get into this. I think you guys are going to enjoy this one. This is brought to you by Sloan. We're going to do screen time. We're going to do screen time. But this is also brought to you by Sloan. Sloan's the world's leading manufacturer of commercial plumbing systems. The company is at the forefront of the green building movement and provides smart, sustainable, and hygienic restroom solutions by manufacturing water-efficient products, including flush-o-meters, faucet sink systems, soap dispensers, fixtures for commercial, industrial, and studio markets worldwide. To learn more, visit sloan.com. Danny's hot take. Danny thinks that going to an Italian restaurant is overrated. You can make better Italian at home. He thinks Italian restaurants, going out to eat at Italian restaurants, is overrated.
One of the most asinine takes of all time. Truly awful take. Going out to an Italian restaurant is overrated. Going out to an Italian restaurant is like the peak of living. If you're not, you maybe you're going to the wrong Italian restaurants, Danny Mueller. I don't know what to tell you.
I think Ian, you gotta take him to some spots in Chicago.
This guy loves steakhouses. He loves steakhouses.
I like steakhouses too, but
he thinks going to a steakhouse is like the best, and he thinks going to an Italian restaurant's not worth it.
That's a wild take.
I completely disagree. Completely.
I was going
to
say,
going out to an Italian restaurant, getting a nice chicken parm, nice glass of vino, that's a special experience.
And it's the whole fact of like making your own food. Like, there's just no way I'm making it better than at like a nice Italian place. There's no way.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm doing in there. I don't know what spices they're putting in there. I'm just putting the sauce that I get from Meijer.
Yeah, I'm buying the jar. I'm not making my own pasta sauce. I mean, these people are they're making handcrafted linguinis, you know? they're making the dough in house.
They're back there rolling the dough. That. There's no way.
They might even have tuna tartare. We don't know.
If you think I even wait for the water to boil before I put the pasta in, you're wrong. That pasta's in there when the water's cold. I don't care enough.
I'm chucking noodles across the kitchen to see if they stick to the wall.
Oh, they're not even soft enough either. There's a little crunch when I eat them. It's fine. So that's a wild take. Unless he's like a secret chef and he's in there for like 2 hours. Sure, maybe he can whip it up. But like, other than that, Danny, that's a crazy take.
And talk about the cleanup of making Italian at home. You got saucepans. You got all kinds of stuff going on to make Italian at home. No, thank you.
No way.
Can I give you a hot take on top of that hot take?
And real quick, just to add to that, and if you go to the Italian restaurant, usually they give like free breadsticks. And it's like, I'll take some breadsticks. I'm not making those at home.
Yeah. I don't have fresh focaccia. Can I give you another hot take on top of that hot take? I don't love going out to steakhouses.
Oh, come on. Man,
I mean, with Ian,
a filet, like there, when you go to a steakhouse, like there's a lot of good filets out there. There's a lot of good, like good steaks, but like, am I getting fired up for a tomahawk? Like, am I really like jazzed?
Yeah.
Yep. No, I don't know.
I retract. I think I go with Zach. I agree. If we're talking like, no offense to these companies, but if we're talking like Texas Roadhouse or Logan's, yeah, I'm not getting fired up for that. But if we're going to like Ruth's Chris, Ocean's Prime, like I'm getting pretty excited. Like if it's like a $60 steak, I'm pretty excited to eat that steak because it's going to be pretty good. And I don't do it very often.
Dude, I'm a sucker for a steakhouse.
You do love a good steak.
Don't you feel like every steakhouse has the same options and the same sides?
Yeah, but like there's something about a really nice steakhouse, man.
That's what I mean. You're with me, Zach, right? Like on the nice ones. Like I'm not like Texas Roadhouse is like, no offense.
I'm going to Texas Roadhouse for the rolls.
Yeah, well, yeah, what's all this Texas Roadhouse slander? The rolls there are incredible. Let's slow down a little.
I did preface it.
I don't know why we're trying to take shots at Texas Roadhouse.
I prefaced it. I like Texas Roadhouse. I meant more, I get the take of I'm not getting fired up to go eat. Like I can go eat at Texas Roadhouse anytime, but I'm not going to like Ocean's Prime just any night of the week.
Ocean's Prime's more of a seafood spot.
But they got steak.
They do, but.
Sorry, name me some other fancy ones. That's the thing. I'm too poor. I don't even know the other ones other than Ruth's Chris.
Dude.
Name me a couple there, fancy man.
Let me hear it,
Bougie.
I'm a big steak guy.
You got one in your head. Name another fancy one.
Dakota's getting the steaks well done.
No, that's medium. Right. I said my steaks are medium. My burgers are well.
Chef would say medium rare.
No, I like medium. I don't want blood on my plate.
Is there anything else happening in the baseball world you guys want to talk about before we go?
Currently there is. I literally was looking at my phone. I want to see if it's still happening. The Braves one is still going. So through five and a half innings, the Braves and Mariners, who are playing each other, both were throwing a no-hitter at the same time.
Whoa.
Bryce Miller and Max Fried were no-hitting each other through five and a half. Bryce Miller gave up a hit in the top of the seventh. Max Fried still has a no-hitter going yet to go out for the seventh, but he's at 100 pitches, so he's probably done.
What the hell? We just threw a complete game shutout, what, last start?
Yeah, he's pretty good. Speaking of which, Cubbies almost got no hit. That was scary. I said it'd be great content.
We talked about it a little bit. Yeah, it was a little scary, but the Cubbies came out with W, came out on top. Cubbies are a resilient bunch. We're playing good baseball. Got some boys banged up. Okay, but we're doing it.
I think Dakota just incarcerated himself for listening to our conversation.
No, not listening at all. We had a whole section on this today, and you were checked out.
To be fair, the first like 5 minutes of the pod, yes, I was doing something on my phone. To be fair, that is correct. Yep. Hand up. That's on me. Accountability on me.
I don't know if we should be having Dakota to admit in the episode that he didn't pay attention for the first
just time. The first like couple minutes. I was half listening.
The people need to know this. The people need to know that while we're podcasting, Dakota doesn't care.
You can slander me when I'm not here. At least when I'm here, I'm listening.
That is not true. There's been many times. Not
true. That's a great point. Prove it. Point, Zach.
No, he's lying. Don't try to team up right now against me. Nope.
Thank you.
Zach Stout, he didn't walk away from the camera for in the middle of the segment there for a minute. He didn't do that. Okay, he's dialed in.
I'm the play the fence guy. I'm the one that sides with one of you. You guys don't side against me.
No, it's changed. Episode 208 has changed.
It took 207 episodes for you two to team up against me.
Pretty sure it's 206.
Oh, look who's locked in.
Ian messes it up every time, and it's right in front of him as he's reading it.
Don't mess it up, and I don't mess up reads. Let's get the people the screen time. I have to go hang out with my mother, who I am very excited to see, who came all the way to New York to see me. But here I am with you guys, talking ball, chopping it up, as our friend Tom from Iowa would say.
My son's screen time today is 6 hours and 34 minutes. I need to get a job.
The guy's relaxing. It's all good. He's relaxing.
It's a number. I got some high time.
4 hours 13 for me.
Oh, and guess what? You're 3 hours behind me, so I don't want to hear it.
3:54 for me. 3:54 with some time on the bus last night after Sunday night baseball.
Grinder. Does that sound like an excuse?
Kind of.
Yes. Yes, it does.
8 hours, 17 minutes. I somehow left my phone on LinkedIn for 4 hours, so that was good. I was editing, and I had my phone. I thought it was off, but I guess the screen was on still, and it was on LinkedIn for like 4 hours. So,
Tom, will you give us your screen times from the last 2 weeks that you refused to
give us? He actually did send the one last week. Numbers? It was 9:59.
Yeah, I don't know how would I go back and even find the other one. I don't know.
Yeah, you'd have to go. Yeah. If you go to week, you can scroll back. If you go to week, on the top there, you can scroll back and you can see.
I think the Sunday I didn't want to give you was 11 hours, 4 minutes.
11 hours and 4 minutes. That's a special time. People need to know that. Need to know that.
Non-baseball update. Thunder swept the Pelicans. On to the next round.
Let's go.
We love basketball here. Basketball pod. We'll talk NHL playoffs next week. And NBA, that's what we do.
Kind of ironic that Dakota's a Thunder fan. Now he lives in Seattle. They stole
the
It's kind of fitting.
People should be angry about that.
I was a Supersonics fan. That's why I moved out.
I think people should get in Dakota's mentions about that one.
I moved out here because I was a Supersonics fan.
That's right. You did tell me that.
Yeah. My whole life.
That's episode 206 of the Compound Podcast presented by Connect Grocers. ConnectGrocers.com to get all of your coffee needs. Code Compound Club. 25% off your first Home Run Club order. Compound 15. 15% off site wide. Check it out. ConnectGrocers.com. We'll see you next week.